We're here on Daf Yud Gimel on the base. Start with Amar Rabbi Avo. This is parallel to Tosus Ma Avodas Kochavim. One line below that. So we're talking about the Shita of Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva says that in the case of Chayvi Mises Bezdin, there is no Malkus. In the case of Chayvi Kares, there is Malkus. And we're trying to figure out what's the difference between Chayvei Misos and Chayvei Karis. And the Gemara was not satisfied with the previous approach that in the case of Chayvei Krisus he could do tshuva and alleviate himself for the punishment of Karis, because who says he did tshuva? So Rabbi Avo has a special yalfusa, special limud. Beferish Ribsa Torah Chayvei Krisus Lamalkas. So according to the presentation of Rabbi Avo, Rabbi Akiva is based on Gzeirah Shavah. And Gzeirah Shavah is that in the case of Chayvei Krisus, the Torah uses the language V'nichrusa, how I image? V'nichrusu li'enei b'nei Amon. So the word le'enei is there. And in the parash of Malkus it says V'nikla achicha le'enecha. So we make Gzeirah Shavah between Li'enei and Le'enecha. So let's go through the two psukim again. The first pasuk says, V'nichrusu Li'enei V'nei Amam. So it has the word Li'enei, and that pasuk is referring to Kares. And then in the parash of Malkus, it says, V'niklachicha Le'enecha. So we equate those two words, Li'enei and Le'enecha. And the Torah is therefore teaching us that Malkus applies to the case of Chayvei Krisus. So logically, we would have come to the conclusion that Kidei Rishoso Mishum Risha Achas Atom Achayvo Iatom Achayvo Shum Shtei Rishoyo. Since he's Chayv and Onish Kares, we cannot impose a Chiv Malkus on him, because that would be two punishments for one crime that we can't do. However, since the Torah went out of its way through this Gzeirah Shavah to apply Malkus to the case of Chayvei Krisus, we now have the exception to the rule. And the Torah is saying that in this case, you can give Malkus despite the Chiyuv Karis. What does it mean, therefore, that in the Braisa, which is on the top of our page, here on Daf Yud Gimel and Beis, Rabbi Akiva says, Shim Asu Tshuva, Bezin Shel Malam Mochlin Lahem. So that's what we call Taimi the Krah. Rabbi Akiva is not answering the question, how do we know this halacha that you get Malkus and Chayvei Krisus? He's telling you why the case of Chayvei Krisus is the exception to the rule. And that is because in Asu Tshuva, Bezin Shel Malam Mochlin Lahem, that there's a certain change or unique nature of this Chiv Kares we don't find in any other Onish, that we, you know, the onish is wiped off, it's rescinded because of tshuva. So this onish is different, and it's outside the rule of Kedei Rishaso, but that we really know from this Kedei Rishava of Li'enei Le'enei. Maskif La Rav Abba Bar Mamel. So we'll see now that Rabbi Avo's presentation is not well received, because Rabbi Abba Bar Mamel says, Ihochi, if you're right, then Chayvei Mises Bezdin Nami Nigmarim. We should add to this Gzeirah Shavah the case of Chayvei Mises Bezdin. Because in the parish of Chayvei Mises Bezdin, which is in the parish of Avodah Zarah, the Torah says, Im Me'ene Ha'eda. So we have the word Me'ene. So just like you took Le'ene and you compared it to Le'enecha, we can compare Me'ene to Le'enecha. Now, if you take a look at Rabbeinu Chananel, he has a slightly different pshat. It's the Rabbeinu Chananel, you know, juts out in the wide lines. If you see the second of the wide lines, you have Rabbeinu Chananel. You have the Steinsatz. Okay, so I'll just read it to you. It's just a few words. It says Vakshinon, and the Gemara asks Ligmar Nami Gzeir Shava Me'ene Dichsiv Bi'Eishes Isha Zinsa. This is not the parsha of Avodah Zarah the way Rashi interprets it, but rather it's a reference to the parasha of Eishes Ish, Okay, well, let's hold off on your question. We'll just finish Rabbeinu Chananel and compare it to Rashi. So Rabbeinu Chananel says that the reference here is to the parasha of Eishes Ish, to who Chai Ve'Mises Bezdin, and there in that parasha, the Torah says V'Nelam Me'enei Ha'isha. So the word Me'enei appears in that parasha as well. So let's take the word Me'enei in that parasha and compare it to Le'enecha in the parasha of Malchus to teach us that a Chai Ve'Mises Bezdin gets Malchus. So again, whether you take Rashi's version or Rabbeinu Chananel's version, the Gemara is saying that the word me'ene appears in the context of a chiyuv mises bezdin, whether it be the way Rashi would have it in the parsha of Avodah Zarah, which is chayv mises bezdin, the way Rabbeinu Chananel has it, me'ene appears in the parsha of Eishes Ish Zinso, which is chayv mises bezdin. But that should make chayv mises bezdin a ripe candidate for this gzeirah shel.
But isn't gzeirah shel something that we like? That's a tradition.
So
that we learn. So you can't just ask like, well, there's this other gzeirah shel.
That's what Mitch was bothered by. Let me just read to you. I don't know if I read it to you last time. There's a note here that comes from Ha'oris at the end of Masechta Brachos, and there it says the following. The afsha b'chlal, afsha klal hu she'ein adam doreish gzeirah shel me'atzmo, elam kein kibla. Yes, I have a kabbalah on it. He says, "Lo tamid his kavlag zereshavim b'tzura brura mach." We'll soon see what this means, but let's just go step by step. He's saying that not every zereshava was passed, was transmitted in perfect completion, in perfect clarity. Ella, but rather, lefamim, in some cases, rak amru, the tradition has it, sheyesh zereshavim ben shtei parshas. Vatalmud mevarer. And even though there's this tradition that there is a gzeirah shel of these two parashiyos, an equation, an analogy, but the tradition doesn't tell us which specific words we should be dorish. Oh, he says another possibility is his kabel sheyesh gzeirah shel mitevos elu. Sometimes you don't even know which topics and which themes are being equated in the gzeirah shel. You just know the words of the gzeirah shel. V'chein kan, and here in our case, Yishlomer sheis kabel, we had a transmission sheyesh zera shava mitevas le'enecha hamura b'malkus. So the tradition has it that there is a zera shava on a pasuk in the parasha of Malkus le'enecha, on that word of le'enecha. But the question is, how do we know whether the hukash, meaning the other parasha that's equated to le'enecha, is the parasha of Chai V'Krisus? And only the Chai V'Krisus, where the Torah says le'ene, could it also be Chai V'Misos, where the Torah says me'ene? So what I just presented to you is based on a pamphlet or an essay that's attached at the end of the Masechta Brachos, and it's called Kitzur Klolim Miyud Gimel Midos. That's the name of the Kuntres that's quoted here in the footnote. So we have the tradition, according to this presentation, that the word le'enecha is the subject or the object of a gzeirah shel. We just don't know for sure what word from what parasha or what words from different parashiyos should be equated to le'enecha. And in the presentation, Rabbi Avo, the choice was le'ene in the parasha of Chai V'Krisus. The attack of Rabbi Abba Bar Mamal against Rabbi Avo is that why not throw in Chai V'Misos to boot? Because you just have a tradition that le'enecha in Malkus has to be compared to something. Let's compare it to the word me'ene in the parasha of Mises Bez. And Rabbi Abba, after he presents this equation, this question, he gets a response from Rabbi Avo, but he's not happy at all with that response. The Gemara's response is that Dunim le'ene mi le'enecha. So the critical letter here is the lamed at the beginning of the word. But the ain done in may ainei li ainecha. But in the case of chayvi misses based on the Torah says may ainei with a mem, that already disqualifies that word for this gezeirah shav. It's too far removed. And frankly, the Gemara is not happy with this. Rabbi Abba is not happy with this. Why? Because it seems that within the rules of gezeirah shava, you don't have to be so limited and so straitjacketed.
Especially if you don't know what it is.
Right.
Well, if you don't know what it is, that actually works to Rabbi Abba. In other words, Rabbi Abba is saying, look, we have this tradition. This is like 100 years ago. This is like right. Three generations back. But we don't know what his source is. And he's like, well, maybe he's based on the Elden and Mayanatha thing. Maybe that's the Gezeirah Shava, that we know that there is one there. He connected it up. That's what was going on. So the fact that you don't like the Gezeirah Shava that Rabbi Avoh imagined, Rabbi Avoh, the burden of proof is, the assumption is on Rabbi Avoh. Rabbi Avoh says, look, I'm just trying to say this is maybe what Rabbi Akiva said.
Right, but take a look.
Prove him wrong. Now, he doesn't have to prove himself right.
Take a look at the next Gezeirah Shava, which really sets the tone for Gezeirah Shava, meaning how particular do you have to be in the laws and regulations that govern Gezeirah Shava? The Gemara proves it from Tana Debeil Rabbi Yishmael. Now keep in mind, this proof of Tana Debeil Yishmael has a great deal of authority to it because we're going back to the Tanoim, and not only that, this Gezeirah Shava, right, this Gezeirah Shava of Rabbi Yishmael was accepted throughout the laws of Negayim. In other words, there's a basic halacha in Negayim that we derive from this. It is an unquestionable law of the Negayim, as we'll soon see, that is derived from this Gezeirah Shava. And yet the Gezeirah Shava allows for a lot of leniency, a lot of, shall we say, allowance, you know, a broad allowance. Take a look.
Latitude.
The Shav HaKoin, Uva HaKoin. The Torah here speaks about the Kohen who comes back after his first visit to see the house. This is called the parish of Nigei Batin. And he comes back a second time. And when he comes back a second time, the halacha requires a certain process in which we remove the nega from that particular stone. And then Uba HaKohen, this is in a case where he comes back on a third round, let's say on the second round, low Pasai Nega, but he comes on the third round in Pasai Nega. In each case, the Nega gets a little bit broader. And based on this equation between Vishav HaKohen and Uba HaKohen, Rabbi Shmuel says, Zuhi Shiva Vizuhi Bia, meaning the same halach applies in both cases. So let me read to you this. Kishem Shaliacha Shavua Echad Shal Hezgir and Pasa Nega. What do? We do something called Choleitz Kotza V'toch. I think I mentioned this last week. So too, Gam B'Shavua Sheni Shal Hezgir, if he comes back after a second week of Hezgir, and now Pasa Nega, is we do the same process of Choleitz V'Kotza V'toch. And all this you'll see summarized in Rashi with regard to Nigei Bata. So there's a certain latitude, like you said before, flexibility of a Shava coin and Ba coin. This allows for Gezeirah Shava. But then the Gemara has a second attack against Rabbi Avoh. Ligmar Me'ene Mile'ene. And apparently now the Gemara introduces another rule that governs Gezeirah Shava, and that is that if you know that word, we'll call it A, is subject to Gezeirah Shava, and you pick on B, now I have a right, I call it the law of transmutation, to say that the word C, in a different parasha, is equivalent to the word A. I don't have to have an equation between A and C. Once I have the equation between A and B, I can add C because C is similar to A. And therefore, the Gemara says, Ligmar me'ene mi le'ene. Meaning, in the parasha of Chivei Misus Besen, we have me'ene. In the parasha of Chivei Krisus, we have le'ene. That le'ene was equated, and nobody doubted that, to le'enecha in the parasha of Malkus. And you wanted to tell me that mayonnaise is a little bit too far off. Well, mayonnaise is almost exactly equivalent to leinei. Both words, again, they have a prefix, but they have the word einei in it. You made the stretch of einei to einecha, and the Gemara feels that I can certainly now take chayvei nisus beisin and attach it to chayvei krisus. The Hagamah, where you've already derived it as malchus and chayvei krisus from leinei, now I can stretch it over to chayvei nisus beisin, where it says meinei. In any event, the next line in the Gemara is really where where we want to start our study tonight. Kivla minei Rav Shmuel Barav Yitzchak. Which means, according to Rashi, that Rabbi Shmuel accepted the argument of Rabbi Abba Bar Mamal, which means that we're left with our original question, why does Rabbi Akiva insist that in the case of Chayvei Nisus Bezdin, there is no Malkus, but in the case of Chayvei Krisus, there is Malkus. And the distinction between the two cannot be justified by Rabbi Avo's Gzeirah Shavah. And the Gemara says the following. Kidei rishaso mishum risha achas ato machayvo v'i ato machayvo mishum shtei rishayos. Now, what are you going to tell me? That you cannot impose two punishments for one crime, and therefore I can't add malchus to Mises Bezdin. Well, why not say the same thing with regard to Kares, and say I can't add another onish to Kares, meaning malchus? So the answer is, this is what Rav Shmuel wants to enhance this Kidei Rishaso and embellish it. Berisha HaMesura LeBezdin HaKosim Medav. This mandate that you can only punish a person with one punishment at a time is addressed to Bezdin. And Bezdin are being told here in this pasuk, because the parasha is the parasha of Bezdin, that they can only apply one punishment. This mandate, therefore, this rule of Kidei Rishaso is not addressing the case of Chayvei Krisus, because Chayvei Krisus is not a punishment that's meted out by Bezdin. Bezdin has free reign and indeed obligation to punish a person with Malchus without having to pay attention at all to the punishment of Kares, because the punishment of Kares is not a Bezdin punishment. So at this point, I want to share with you Akasha the Ritva. The Ritva goes back to the beginning of Asugya, Daf Yud Gimel Amud Aleph. If you remember, the Gemara derives the conclusion that Rabbi Akiva is the author of our Mishnah, because our Mishnah omits mention of Chayvei Mises Bezdin. There's no case of Elohein Alokim that's mentioned in our Mishnah which is a chayvei nisus beisin, a capital crime. Frek the Ritva, I don't understand. How could you say that? Really, even in the case of chayvei nisus beisin, there could be malchus. And why is that? Because the reason why we're removing malchus is kidei rishaso. We cannot implement two punishments. In the theoretical world, and we'll see that it's not just theoretical, the Torah is not opposed to two punishments. The Torah is just saying that you, Bezdin, cannot mete out two punishments. But what about a scenario in which Bezdin will mete out the punishment of Malchus instead of Mises Bezdin? And we'll see why in a second. But if there is such a scenario that Bezdin would be obligated to implement the punishment of Malchus and drop Mises Bezdin, then even Rabbi Akiva would agree that you'd be chai of Malchus for a capital crime. What's the case where you cannot implement the capital punishment? The hasra that they gave was only on Malchus. They said to him, don't violate the Shabbos, because if you do so, you're going to get Malchus. Now there's no possibility of implementing the punishment of Mises Bezdin. There was no hasra for Mises Bezdin, but there was a valid hasra for Malchus. Then ostensibly there's no reason why Rabbi Akiva would object in this case to implement Malchus. What are you going to tell me today, Rishasa? Well, we're only giving him one punishment, because the other punishment is not possible in this case. So therefore, when we come back to our question in the Mishnah, why the Mishnah left out Chayvei Mises Bezdin, And you're answering, well, the Mishnah left out Chayv and Mises Beis Din because of Rabbi Akiva, who says there's no Malchus in Chayv and Mises Beis Din. Meaning, Kedei Rishasa, you can only punish him one punishment for a crime. That's not really accurate. That's not really true.
Well, it's not going to be a ruling. It can't be Rabbi Yitzchak.
Wait, 1 second. Just.
What if you even happen to mention some kind of punishment which is so outlandish that it's.
Then you can't punish him at all. I mean, the punishment
just,
has
just
to.
Just because they said something that was wrong, is it like, this no, is reasonable.
That invalidates the Hasra. And again, if they get the wrong Hasra.
Because Malchus is always like a baseline because of.
If they gave the wrong Hasra, that's something entirely different. Jonathan, you wanted to say something?
So what's the three way Malchus? It can't be Rabbi Yitzchak. Rabbi Yitzchak, the Dabi's not Rabbi Yitzchak. Rabbi Yitzchak says there's no Malchus even for Chayve Karis. And the mission clearly says there is, unless you want to say the entire mission is talking about in cases where they only gave him warning for Malchus and not for Karis. Can't be Rabbi Yishmael, because Rabbi Yishmael is the opposite. Rabbi Yishmael says there is no difference. So if you're looking at the mission and you're saying the mission is clearly implying a difference between Karis and Mises Beis Din, the only person you have is Rabbi Akiva. That's the only of the three Tanaim that makes a distinction. So you want to say, oh, fine, there could be a case or whatever, you have to just say the mission is not talking about that case.
Right. So that's actually the first answer to the Ritva. I'm just interested in the second answer. The first answer to the Ritva is that Ruba de Chayve Mises Beis Din, Ika Misa Velo Lucky, meaning in the classical scenario of Chayve Mises Beis Din, where the Eidim got it right and they gave it right Asra, it would be Mises Beis Din, there would not be Malchus, and that justifies why the Mishnah omitted Mises Beis Din in Chayve Malchus. Lo psika le milsa le misne Mises Beis Din, because there's no general application of Malchus. On the contrary, in the case of Mises Beis Din, generally we don't apply Malchus. But I'm interested for a moment in the second answer. That the reason for Rabbi Akiva, even though it's Kedei Rishaso, Rabbi Akiva would still alleviate Malchus in the case of a Chayvei Mises Beis Din, even though there was no Hasra for Misa. And the reason for that is Hatamu. And this is the sheet of Reish Lakish in Mesechta Chulin Pei Aleph. Shechayve Miso Shogigim Keturim Malchus. So let me give you a little bit of background here. Reish Lakish wants to know what happens if a man violates Shabbos b'shogeg. And Rabbi Akiva says that in such a case, I'm sorry, not Rabbi Akiva, I meant to say Reish Lakish holds that in such a case, he's potter. In other words, what Reish Lakish is saying is that the halacha of Mishum Risha Achas Atomachaivo applies even in cases where we don't actually mete out the punishment. He's a shogeg, and if he's a shogeg, he doesn't get the onesh. But just the very fact that it's a Chayvei Mises case, and he hadn't done it b'mezin, he would be Chayvei Mises, that's enough to apply the principle of Kedei Rishasa. So again, what we're saying here is that according to Reish Lakish, I'm not asking the question, well, are we going to meet out Mises Beis Din? I'm asking the question whether we could, in a theoretical world, not in this actual concrete case, meet out Mises Beis Din. And that's going to apply, that's why Reish Lakish can apply the principle of Kedei Rishasa, even in a case of Shogeg. And now we can go a step further. What about a case where you didn't get Asra for Mises Beis Din? So again, I can't meet out Mises Beis Din, but still I'm going to apply the principle of Kedei Rishasa. Why? Because in a theoretical world, had there been a Hasra for Misa, that would be enough to activate the principle of Kedei Rishasa. All right. Now we go back to the Gemara.
Korban doesn't count as a punishment. It's a
Karbon we're going to come to right away. Let's just hold off another minute until we come to Karbon. Alright. Now the Gemara presents the thesis of Rav. And the question is, as we go through Rava, keep in the back of your mind the following question: why does Rava feel compelled to offer another interpretation of Rabbi Akiva, and we'll see how it impacts on Rabbi Shmuel? What exactly is the gripe of Rava with the previous presentation? Rava says the following: Achiu Velik Tola Kuli Alma Lo Pligi Dien Lo Kevamis. If there was Asra, not only for Malkus, but also for Misa, then everybody agrees that there's no Malkus. What does that mean, everybody agrees? Even who? Again, if we're talking about Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Akiva holds in Chayvei Misa Bezdin, then there's no Malkus, so he's not telling me anything new. What does he mean, Kuli Alma Lo Pligi? Even Rabbi Yishmael, who says that there is a possibility of giving Malkus for Chayvei Misa Bezdin, it doesn't mean that Rabbi Shmuel would assume that you give Malkus and Misa, the two of them together, because Rabbi Shmuel also fundamentally accepts the principle of Kedei Rishasa. So if there was Asra for Misa, then the criminal will get Misa and forget about Malkus, even according to Rabbi Shmuel. Why? Because of Kedei Rishasa. So what then is the machlokes between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel? Key pligi, where do they argue? The Asri Bela Malkus. He only had Asra for Malkus. So he can't get Misa because there was no Asra for Misa. Rabbi Shmuel Savar, Lav Hanitan, Lav Shanitan Lazars Misas Bezdin, Lokanolov. It means that even though the Azhara, when the Torah said, don't be Machal Shabbos, that warning of the Torah, that Azhara of the Torah, would engender a Chiyuv Misa, if he got such Asra from the Eidim when he violated the Shabbos. But nevertheless, I can use that same Azhara for Malkus. The fact that the Torah gave an Azhara for Mises Bezdin does not disqualify that Azhara. It still has, shall we say, potency to it. And it can engender a chiyuv malchus. Rabbi Akiva Savar Lav Shenitan Lazoras Misas Bezdin. If I need the Azara to engender a chiyuv Misa, ain't lokanol. If I can't use that Azara, it's already used up. I can't use it again for a malchus. In other words, the Azara tells me not to do something, because if I do something, I will be punished. I can't use that Azhara, says Rabbi Akiva, for Malkus, because I've already used that Azhara for a Chiyuv Mises Bezdin. That's how Rashi interprets this Gemara. Let me just see the Rashi inside. Ein lokin olav, says Rashi, it's towards the end of the skinny lines. Kishe hisru bo malchus below misa, lefi shalo nitan lav zel azharas onish malchus kishal lav. Shei hutzrach lazhiro, shim lokein, lohoya, yochel lios chayev misa. So since I need the azhara is here for the purpose of a chiv misa, I can no longer use, the azhara is not free, it's not panui, to use it for a chiyuv malchus. That's the shita of Rabbi Akiva according to Rashi. However, I found here in the Otzer a different explanation for Rabbi Akiva. And he says, in the name of the Ra'im is Rav Eliyahu Mizrahi, that goes back a good couple of centuries ago, he says, Eino loka lav shenitan lazar smisis bezin, Lufisha Eino Doma Lilav de Chasim. You remember that our paradigm for Malkus was Losatsam Shar Bidisho, which is a lav that could engender, in the worst case scenario, Malkus, but nothing more severe than Malkus. Now you have a lav that could engender Misa, and you want to put it back into the parish of Malkus, it's got to be Dumya de Chasim. Even though you might ask me, but wait a minute, what do you mean duvya de chasima? Something that's more severe than chasima, a worse avir, a worse crime, should therefore be alleviated of malchus? Maybe lav de chasima is only coming, as we saw earlier in the sugya, to exclude something that's lower than chasima. For example, a lav shein bo maisa, or a lav ani tekel esek. But if you have a lav that's similar to chasima, yesh bo maisa, it's not ani tekel esek, but it's more severe, then maybe I don't apply the principle of lav de chasima, ain't a duvya de lav de chasima. But in any event, this is one approach, in the name of the Ra'im, that Rabbi Akiva holds that you have to be, it's got to be exactly fit the mold, it has to exactly fit the mold of chasim. I was wondering if we can come up with an afkamina between Rashi and the Ra'im. Again, Rashi says the Azhari can't work for Malkus because I need it for Misa. The Ra'im says the Asara could not engender Malkus because it's not Dumya the Chasim. Here's the case I want to ask you about. On Shabbos, in addition to the 39 categories of Malacha, we have other Yisurim. We have, for example, anybody know what I have in mind? The Lav of Mechamer. Mechamer means if I put a burden on the back of a beast, and then I lead the beast, that's called Mechamer Achar Behemto. So that's a lav on Shabbos. Or, I'll give you another example, Tchumen. To go for more than 2,000 Amah outside the city limits, that's not a violation of Malacha Shabbos. It doesn't engender a feat of Misa. It's an Isur Shabbos according. Again, it's Machlokas, whether Tchumen is Doraisa, Drabbanim, but let's say according to Manyavah that Tchumen is Doraisa. That would be another example of a lav on Shabbos without a feat of Misa. So I say the following. If I go with the pshat of Rashi, then in these two cases, Rabbi Akiva would say that there's no malchus because the lav is still nitan lazharis misas bezer. But if I, well, wait, just give me 1 minute. Maybe I said I wanted to say it the other way around. Let me just work it out. 10 minutes before you pounce on this one. But if I go like the Ra'im, that the Ra'im holds that it's not dunya delav de chasima, here it would be dunya delav de chasima. Why would it be dunya delav de chasima? Because it's a classical law. According to Rashi's pshat, I might suggest so you're saying, you're right. Even according to Rashi, it's not going to be that the Azor is used up for Mises Bez, because for that I have the law of Los Chalcom. Okay, fine. Didn't work out. Good. Shem Shani Kabul Skarla Drisha, Kathani Kabul Skarla Pisha. Okay. So the Gemara now says the following. Rabbi Yishmael Savar, Lav Shanitan Lasoris Mises Bezdin, Lokin Olof. It sounds like what Rabbi Yishmael is saying is that the Azhara could serve a double function. In other words, again, even though Rabbi Yishmael holds, like Rabbi Akiva, that you can't mete out two punishments for the same crime because it's Kedei Rishasa, and therefore, if there was an Azhar for both Misa and Malkus, I cannot give him both Misa and Malkus. But nevertheless, as far as the Azhar is concerned, in a case where I'm not meting out Misa, for example, there was no Azhar for Misa, then the Azhar could serve a double function. From the perspective of Rabbi Yishmael, we view the Azhara as a general warning that could encompass any punishment whatsoever. Any and all punishments. Again, I can't mete out two punishments before because I'm blocked, I'm inhibited by Kedei Rishasa, but if there's only one punishment because I cannot mete out the other punishment, then it doesn't matter what the nature of that punishment, the Azhara could be multi-purpose. Multifunction. Now I asked you a few minutes ago, what is Rava's peeve here? What bothers Rava about the sugya that came before Rava? I mean, we had a pretty good approach to the machlokas between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yishmael. What is Rava objecting to? I think the Pashtus, in other words, I recall the knee-jerk response without thinking, is that Rabbi Akiva is telling us, excuse me, the sugya before Rav is telling us that according to Rabbi Shmuel, you could mete out both Misa and Malchus. And the Gemara asks, what about Kedavim Shas? And the Gemara gave the answer, Misa Richter, you remember? That it's all one long Misa. But maybe Rav is not so fond of that interpretation. That's one possibility. But I saw another possibility here in the Otzer, and he says the following. His first answer is, Lo bal lo mashagam Rabbi Shmuel eino loke behisru bolim misa, de nirlo dochak svara de misa richta. That's the first pshat. Yesha kosvu, now he has another possibility. Shalachain hutzrak ravalati rutso, achal pishu savur, shabir shah, hamisura, lebezdena kosvu, the damishu shahuk shalal al te roots, shal Rabbi Shmuel. So in the day hechi dilo asru velik tola gam Rabbi Akiva loke imkei lomad lo tani masnis and gam chayv misis bezdin ublo isru velik tola. So remember, I asked you this kasha in the name of the Ritva. The Ritva wants to know, why didn't the Mishnah include the case of chayv misos when there was no asra for misis bezdin and you get malchus? That should have been listed under elu emaloke. So Rav is bothered by this question, according to the second interpretation. Why was Chayv and Misas Bezdin left out? And the answer is that everybody agrees, let's go over this, everybody agrees that if there was Asra for Malchus and Misa, then there is no Misa. So you have no right to attribute the authorship of our Mishnah to one Tana or the other, because all the Tanaim are in agreement now, according to Rava, that there's no Misa and Malchus, and the only time you can talk about Malchus and Chayv Misa, in Chayv Misa's Bezdin, is a case where there was Asra for Malchus. And only Asra for Malchus. And then Rabbi Akiva would say that he doesn't get Malchus, and Rabbi Shmuel would say he does get Malchus. And now there's no if ands or buts. I mean, again, we've now excluded the possibility that there was Asra for Misa. Because if there was Asra for Misa, then everybody agrees that you don't get Malchus. So then the Gemara would have no justification to attribute the Mishnah to any particular Tana and answer the question, my Masnisa Rabbi Akiva. Why?
Because even Rabbi can disagree with that.
Okay, wait, we'll get to that, Jonathan. Let me just, if you don't mind, I'm sorry, I find this, very, my mind moves at a slow pace. So again, what we're saying is that if you're going to tell me that you can pinpoint one particular Tana who authored our Mishnah, then it comes out the following. If there was Asra for Misa, then even Rabbi Shmuel is on board that there's no Malchus. So you have no right to point to Rabbi Akiva. Okay? The only way you can point to Rabbi Akiva is in a case where Rabbi Shmuel would say you are high of Malchus. In which case would Rabbi Shmuel say you are high of Malchus? If it was only Asra for Malchus and there was no Asra for Misa. Here's where Rabbi Akiva steps in and he says there's no Malchus. Why is it no Malchus? Because Allah Manita Lazarus Misa's Bezin. So Rava wants to justify the original Shaka Vitaria that points to Rabbi Akiva as the only candidate for authorship of our Mishnah, and he says, you know what, I have a presentation which would justify that conclusion. My presentation is that if there was Asra for Misa, then even Rabbi Shmuel would agree that there's no Malchus, and therefore the Mishnah could easily be authored by Rabbi Shmuel. Chayv Misas was omitted because there's no Malchus, and Chayv Misas, and even Rabbi Shmuel adopts that position. The only way, therefore, says Rava, to justify the exclusive authorship of that Mishnah to Rabbi, attribute the exclusive authorship of that Mishnah to Rabbi Akiva, is to assume that it was Malkus, excuse me, it was only Asra for Malkus. If it was only Asra for Malkus, then it's only Rabbi Akiva who would alleviate the fee of Malkus based on the halacha of Lav Hanitan Lazarus Nisus Pes. Now Jonathan throws out another possibility, and that is just the opposite. That Rava, in fact, disagrees with the whole Shaka Vitaria at the beginning of the Sugya Yigimel, and Rava wants to have a broader possibility of authorship of that Mishnah, and he wants to say that that Mishnah can work out even according to Rabbi Shmuel. And how does he gain that? He's saying that if there was Hasra for Misa, even Rabbi Shmuel agrees that there's no Malkus in such a case. And therefore the Mishnah had to leave out Chai V'Misa's Bezdin in the case, as far as Malkus is concerned, because since in your, shall we say, your average case, or at least in many cases, there won't be Malkus, and that's because there was Hasra for Misa, therefore the Mishnah could work out even according to Rabbi Shmuel.
Also, Rava's explanation is consistent with the language of the Braisa. The Braisa uses a pretty funny language. He doesn't say that Rabbi Shmuel says that he is Chayev, Malkus, and Misa. It says, Yeshno Beklal, Malkus Arbayim. It's in the category, it's subject to 40 lashes. There's a possibility of 40 lashes. It's a weird language. So I think also it's possible that Rava's picking up on that. He's saying that you want to say that our Mishnah and this Braisa are almost contradictory, that the only way to make the two make sense is to say that our Mishnah is according to Rabbi Akiva, but you didn't read the Braisa clearly enough. The Braisa is not saying that he's Chayev, Malkus, and Misa. It's in the category, and all of them use this like language of Yeshno Beklal, which is much more consistent with Rava's explanation, that saying it's in the category of Malkus, it's also in the category of Misa. You only give one, but the category of Malkus is still there in the sidelines if you ever want to use it.
Okay, so how does Rava justify that language that Malkus is in the lurking in the shadows, so to speak? I didn't catch
If I would view, like, let's say you have a law that's Misa, that's a law that you generally would give Misa for. So how do I view that? Do I view it as, like, that there was one line of what's the punishment, and I have one line and I used it for Misa, and that's it? Or is it like, no, they're all law that have Malkus, and now there's a law on top of it, which is Misa, and oh, when I actually come to administer the punishment, I only give one. That would be like Rabbi Shmuel's way. So if there's some technicality that I can't give Misa, I can give Malkus, because it's still in the category of Malkus.
So Jonathan, that fits before Rava, but not after Rava. Meaning, if the point of Rabbi Akiva and the Braisa is that there is a possibility of Malkus lingering or hovering over the case of Chayiv Mises, I don't know, but that would justify the pre-Rava explanation of Rabbi Akiva. Why? Because in the previous explanation of Rabbi Akiva saw that in Chayiv Mises, in Chayiv Krisus, there really is no Kedei Rishoso issue. Right? There is no Kedei Rishoso issue because it's not Mesura, it's not an Onish that's Mesura LeBezdin, it's not a Risha Mesura LeBezdin. And then I think the language of Akiva is very good. But in Rava's frame of reference, Adarabba, I would take your statement as a question, as an objection, because now Rava is telling us in Rabbi Akiva's frame of reference that this lav is completely excluded from Mises Bezdin, and we might want, as the Gemara is going to say now, we might want to apply that same logic to Chayvei Krisus, so that in Rava's frame of reference, Rabbi Akiva is really facing a much more fundamental issue, namely whether or not there is the possibility let me put it to you this way. Before Rava, the issue of Malkus or not Malkus is really a practical issue in terms of how we mete out the punishment. Is it Kedei Risha also with two Rishas, or is it only one Risha? And maybe various scenarios in which we could give Malkus. But in Rava's frame of reference, Rabbi Akiva is asking a black and white question. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. There are no possibilities. Either the lav is an azhar that can engender malchus or it cannot engender malchus. There won't be any, you know, any cases that lurk in the shadows. You know, there's no issue of, well, what are we meeting at, what are we not meeting at. According to Rabbi Akiva's formulation, in the case of Misa, there will never be malchus. In the case of Kares, there always will be malchus. And you don't have to ask the question, did he do tshuva, did he not do tshuva? So I don't know. I think I would almost turn your support for Rav into a question against Rav. So let's just see the next Gemara. Rabbi Akiva Yehachi Chai Vekrisis Nami. Meaning, if your logic, this way Rashi would interpret it, is that the Azhara is needed for something else, for a different punishment, like in the case of Misa, if I can't use it for Malchus, let's apply the same logic to the case of Chai Vekrisis. I need the Azhara for the Chi of Kares. I can't use it, therefore, for the Chi of Malchus. And if we go with the second interpretation of Rava, namely that Rava is interpreting Rabbi Akiva saying that it's not Dumya Delav de Chasima, then to the same extent that a Chai Vinisis Bezin is not Dumya Delav de Chasima, a Chiv Karis is not Dumya Delav de Chasima. So the Gemara answers, Ole Rav Mordechai L'Rav Ashi, Now, Rabosai, first of all, I have to tell you that there's another girsa, alternative. And that is Chai Vekrisis Lo Tzrichi Azhara. And we should be very careful about that because it's confusing. The word Hasra is a reference to the warning that the Eidim give to the criminal at the time of his action. The word Azhara is the warning that the Torah says, don't you dare do it, when the Torah lifts up its finger and points it at you. Our discussion here is about Azhara, not about Hasra. And therefore the correct Girsa, in all likelihood, should be Azhara. And those who have the Girsa Hasra will tell you that the Hasra here is not to be taken in its technical, literal interpretation.
Hasra from the Torah.
But it's rather Hasra from the Torah, which means an Azhara. That would be the pashtus in the suit. However, what I find here is that many, many mafarshim, not just one or two, understood the girsa and interpreted the girsa as we have it, that we're talking about a hasra. And there's a whole long piece here. And the bottom line of the piece is called Hecha de lo be'inan hasras edim lo be'inan azhar. And since v'chai v'krisus, as the Gemara is going to prove in a minute from Pesach and Nila, does not require a hasra. In other words, if a person violates a chiyuv kares, he'll be chayv kares whether or not they were able to see. And certainly, even if they were, then whether they gave Asra or not is totally irrelevant. The Chiv Karis is automatic. So since there's no requirement of a Hasra, they claim, this whole school of thought, there's no requirement of an Azhara. And the question is, how do they make that jump? Just because you don't need a Hasra, that has nothing to do with the Azhara in the Torah. The Hasra has to do with whether Aiden can take him into Bezdin and condemn him as accused for the crime he did. And there are all sorts of conditions that have to be met for that. Here we're talking about whether the Torah told him not to do it. And whether the Torah in the Beis Shammah is going to implement the punishment of Kares. That's a whole different story. So this whole school of thought to say they call Hech the Lo Be'inan Asra, who therefore ifso facto Lo Be'inan Azhara, very different. Yeah, I am. But speak of drop ladder.
Sorry, the person who did something, who is now supposed to get a fee of Karis from Beis Din Shamala.
Correct.
He never knows that. I'm saying, like, in my mind, I always imagine that the Beis Din Shalmata says that you're getting Karis for this.
No, I don't think so. I'm just saying the following. What I'm saying is, that the Torah has to address every criminal and say to him, don't do this.
Right.
And then go ahead and say, well, if you do, if you violate the law, Taseh, then you'll get karmas. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes care of the rest. There's no need for any judicial procedure. There's no need for Adam to come in and give out this asra. All that is. But Azhara, that's basic. That's fundamental. I would require that even for a chiyuv karis. So this equation here that they're operating with, that kol hecha delo, ki hecha delo b'inan asra, lo b'inan azhara, that I find very difficult.
First, it's true that they're not laws. Both of these things are essays. And you're getting it. These are the two classic examples of getting karis for not doing the essay. But
oh, you're a step ahead of me. Okay, let me just read the next Gemara, if you don't mind, because I haven't read it yet. Shari Pesach u'mila onash afal pishalo hizya. In the case of Karban Pesach and Mila, non-compliance with the essay engenders a chiyuv karis and is no azhara. Obviously, it's no azhara because it's a mitzvah sesek. Yeah, go ahead.
No, it's hard to use that as an example. I mean, it says that, you know, if you don't eat the Karban Pesach, it says that it does say that. It doesn't say it in the context of making it a low sesek because you have to eat it. But it's there.
Well, let me ask you this.
How do we know it gets karis? Because it's in the Torah.
Right. But I'm asking you, did we need an azhara? In those two cases, no azhara. It's a mitzvah sasei. Obviously, no azhara.
It says you get karis and it says you should do it. So
if that be the case, then the Gemara says you already have a precedent. You already have a breakthrough here. You have to admit in Pesach and Mila, you're going to get karis. You're chayav karis. There was no azhara. So let's extend that to all chayav karis and say you don't need an azhara for the chayav karis. Therefore, the azhara is free to engender a few malas. Correct? That's the Gemara's logic.
There's no azhara. But Azhara is free. You can't have it both ways.
No, what we're doing is we're taking Pesach and Mila where there's no Azhara, and we're extrapolating from that for all the cases of Chayav Karis. There are 36 lavim for which you're Chayav Karis. There are two essays for which you're Chayav Karis for non-fulfillment of the essay. What we're saying is that from those two cases, where the Torah is going to impose a chiyuv karis despite the absence of an azhara, we can extrapolate that in all the other 36 cases, we don't need the azhara in order to engender a chiyuv karis. And therefore the azhara seems to be hanging in mid-air and it has no purpose to it.
The pasuk, right?
Lo tavo al achoscho, whatever the pasuk is.
There is an azhara. In the Torah, there is an azhara.
So what is the purpose of that azhara? And the answer is, it can't be for karets. The answer it's got to be is, it's for malos. And that's the sheet of Rabbi Akiva. So Rabbi Akiva says in the case of Chayvei Krisus, the azhara serves one purpose and one purpose only. And that is to engender a chiyuv malos. The fact that you also have a chiyuv karets, that's irrelevant, because I didn't need the Azhara for a Chiyuv Karis. So what justifies the Azhara? You have 36 Azharas in the Torah, which you can erase, so to speak. They're all superfluous. The answer is they're not superfluous, says Rabbi Akiva. I need them to engender a Chiyuv Malkus. The Azhara is telling you that, buddy, you're going to get Malkus.
So the Malkus and Karis.
And you'll get Karis too. That's no problem. For Karis, I don't need an Azhara. How do I prove to you that for Karis I don't need an Azhara? From Pesach U'mila. In Pesach U'mila there is no Azhara, and yet you get Karis. So you see that Karis doesn't need an Azhara. If Karis doesn't need Azhara, then what's the Azhara? What purpose is it functioning? What goal is it achieving? It is telling me that you get Malkus. My question was, according to the gears that we have, the language of Rav Mardechai, etc., 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 is Chayvei Krisus lo tzrichi as hasra. And the Mepharshim say if it doesn't need a hasra, therefore it doesn't need an azhara. I don't understand the logic of that.
It kind of makes sense.
Why?
Because the only reason you would need a hasra is so that when he's taken to court, you can say these two aliens witnessed you doing this. They warned you. Like the hasra is so that the aliens are validated. Because if the Edim didn't give Hasra, then you can't use them. So once there's no need for Edim, because Edim can't give you Karis,
right,
then there's no need for the Hasra. So then like.
But does that mean, therefore, Aaron, that the Torah doesn't have to warn the criminal?
Yeah.
Why?
Because the warning in our world of Beis Din Shomata is because without warning you can't have a court case. Meaning like
okay, but now he comes up to a different sort of a court.
Right, Beis Din
Shomata. The heavenly court.
Right.
Doesn't he need a warning?
No, because there's no need.
If you're dealing with Karis and Beis Din Shomata, I don't need Asras Edim, because I don't need Edim, I don't need Asra, I don't need Garnished, I don't need anything.
Right.
Because he's being punished in a different court, a different system.
Right.
But in that system, up there in heaven, you want to give him Karis, give him a warning first. So why does the fact that you don't need a Hasra in Karis prove that you don't need an Ashara in Karis?
Okay, well, let's talk about that defense of Beis Din Shomata.
Yeah.
I want to set the picture. Person dies, he goes up to heaven. There was a 1 year that he didn't bring Karim Pesach. The guy said, why didn't you bring Karim Pesach? For Kai Karis, it's a big punishment up here. And he goes and expounds. He's like, look, there was no statement in the Torah. Show me where it says in this Torah that I was supposed to bring
Karim Pesach.
That I was forewarned to do, like, I was forbidden to not have a Karim Pesach. To not have a Karim Pesach, or to having me. To not have a milah, just as I should have a milah.
Right.
And if I don't,
right.
Okay.
Right.
So you can't hide me. Would that hold water in the heavenly court?
Well, I would say I would have said. I would have said it does hold water because a person has to be forewarned. But from the fact that in Pesach and milah, the Torah says you do get karis, and there is no warning, there is no ashar in the Torah, you see that I'm wrong. But my question is, before we got to Pesach and Milah, the Gemara says that I don't need a Hasra in the case of Chai Decreases, and therefore, ipso facto, I don't need an Azhar. That piece of logic I don't understand. If you change the Girsa, the Girsa says that you don't need an Azhar, okay. So the Gemara has a Svara, then you don't need an Azhar, and the Gemara proves it from Pesach and Milah.
So,
no, but you just like you don't need to be warned in the terrestrial courts of don't do this or you'll get karis. Karis is almost not even here's the logic. I have it.
Yeah.
Karis is not even really a punishment. Karis is a natural consequence. I can prove it to you because it doesn't need warning. Like I'm talking about terrestrial warning. I don't need to give a warning and do an event. It's not like that. It's like if I would tell you, don't chop off your hand or you won't be able to write. It's not like a warning and a punishment. It's just natural. This is just how the world
it's
works.
It's a consequence.
It's a natural consequence of doing this avera is getting karis. That's I can prove it to you. There's no ashara. So now in the heavenly system, I don't need to have an ashara because I'm just saying the natural consequence of not bringing a carbon Pesach is karis. It's not that like don't do it. It's just this is the natural consequence.
But you see, what I don't understand is you start with the following question, if you have this girsa. And that is, why is it that for a chiyuv karis you don't need a hasra? And the answer is, from this, I'm going to prove to you don't need an ashara, that the Torah doesn't have to win.
That's what I'm saying.
But I don't understand your question to begin with. The question doesn't get off the ground. If you're asking me why you don't need Hasra, it's because this guy's not even coming in front of Beis Din. Hasra means the two Edim.
No, it's deeper. It's deeper. It's not just that he's not coming in front of Beis Din. It's not even a punishment.
No, but Jonathan, you're saying a whole philosophy which may or may not be true. I'm not even up to analyzing it. But just answer me this. What is the Gemara's proof from Hasra? When you bring a proof from something, it means there was a question that bothered you, and the answer was, I have to derive a conclusion. What was the question? Why did you expect it to be Hasra? Sorry, for the fact
it's a type of punishment.
Yeah, but for punishment where? It's a divine punishment, so you need Hasra? That doesn't make any bit of sense.
Yes, in other words, I am warning you. Make sure that you know that this is an amazing thing. Make sure that you know this is Asar, and that's why you're fine.
The one with capital O who meets at the punishment is the one who has to give you the warning.
Okay,
that's
so called
that Asara. But
God ordained that a certain punishment is a death penalty. Yet we on the terrestrial court, we have a person, he does it, and there was an Asara, and we say you get off scot-free. Why? Because
he wasn't forewarned. he's got to be forewarned. But that has nothing to do with the Chiyuv Kares. You can't tell me that in a case of a Chiyuv Kares, he's got to be forewarned. The Torah warned him. You know, in Hilchas Onshei Bezdin, you need not only that the Torah told you not to do it, but the crime has to be even more severe because we warned you before you did the act.
What would happen if people saw that a guy wasn't going to bring a Korban Pesach, and they said, if you don't do this, you're going to get Malkus?
Well, I don't know about Malkus. Okay. It increases.
No, what if they gave Hasra incorrectly? Then who's going to get Malkus?
Yeah.
Just like how we case this.
So what are you? Where are you trying to lead me? I'm not sure where. You know, you're coming up with some so new case.
Are you trying
to prove something?
Because then if he doesn't do it,
and
you have to apply their Hasra because they warned him that this is going to be punishment. Just like how if there's an incorrect warning, didn't we learn that if there's an incorrect warning, that you can't punish him for the actual punishment, only for the warning?
Okay, so again, so what, I'm not sure, Aaron, what are you trying, can you just give me the bottom line? I'm sorry.
What are you trying to say? Because the Gemara is trying to eliminate the fact that Hasra doesn't matter, whether the fact that there is Hasra for this specific punishment of Paris, or someone accidentally gives Hasra for a different punishment, no Hasra's count for punishment that the Torah deems Paris is necessary. It doesn't matter if the Hasra was a correct one or not one. That's the question that's coming to answer. That's what I'm suggesting.
Well that kind of goes back to the original statement of Rava. That Rava says that we have that the Malkus is lurking in the background in a case of bad warning. So it's there as a punishment in a case of bad warning. So Aaron, I think, is saying that because there's no practical way to activate that, with Karis, just because there is no practical warning, there's no practical way that you could give like a half warning in that way, because there's no manifestation of that principle, it means that it cannot exist.
Okay, Rabbi Moshe, let me just make a little practice in this thing. I know you'll have to throw this around in Kavusa. All right. Only Rav Mordechai or Rav Ash. Okay, that we have. Sherei Pesach u'mila onash afal pishalohiz. In fact, the Gemara v'dilma is har l'karban. Every chayav increases. If he does it b'mezik, his chayav increases. If he does it b'shogeg, his chayav l'karban chavos. Maybe we need the azhara in the case of chayav increases, not for Malkus the way you insist, Rabbi Akiva, but for the chayav karban. And here I think the Gemara may be touching on a very fundamental question. What is the nature of a Chiyuv Karban? Does it belong to the heavenly courts? Is it a halach and kapara? Well, no, it's an onesh. For example, you have a sugya bav mitzvah, whether or not Beis Din can force a person to bring a karban. So one day we'll say, we'll beat him up till he's blue in the face, and he decides, yeah, I think I'll bring a karban. I'd be well advised to do so. If you're telling me that karban is a pure kapara, that's between him and God. So then it's no different than creases. Just like we said, in creases you don't need Nazara, so then karban doesn't need Nazara. But if you're going to say that karban really comes under an onesh, and something that Beis Din has to oversee and mete out and supervise and compel him if need be, then maybe you need Nazara for it. So the Gemara says, I'm going to prove to you that you don't need a Nazara for a karban. How is that? No, I'm sorry. Just the opposite. I'm going to prove to you that what? That you need an Azhara for a karban. I'm going to substantiate my question. Why is it that in Pesach and Mila there's no karban? And the Gemara doesn't even let you think about it. If the Gemara had given me a 5-minute break to think about it, I would have come up with any number of answers. But the Gemara immediately jumps and says, you know why? Because there was no Azhara. You see from this that in order to get bring a karban, you need an azhara. Otherwise, I don't know why in the case of Pesach and Mila, I don't bring a karban. First of all, I want to tell you this. I couldn't find anyone who says this, but I'm willing to tell you that what I'm about to say is emes labito. Take out the word Mila. It's a mistake. It can't be here. Because there's no moment in one's life where he could be chayav a karban for mila. Because mila is a mitzvah that you can do on your deathbed, so to speak. I'm just using that as a dramatic term, meaning up until including the moment of your death, you can fulfill the mitzvah of mila and remove the chayav karis from it. Unless you hold like one sheet in the Rishonim, which I think is the Rambam's unique sheet, that every moment you chayav karis. Every moment that you delay meal, you chayav karis.
How can you do tshuva on the earlier karis? How can you wipe those away if every new one?
I don't know. But I'm saying the simple pshat is, Aaron, that once you do the meal at the last moment of your life, you're not chayav karis. In other words, the nature of mila is that it's not limited to one particular moment in time. It begins obviously on the eighth day, but it continues ad infinitum until you die, till death do us part. So when are you going to tell me chayav karma?
There's a way.
But one second. Okay, you'll tell me the way. I didn't come up with the way. But if you come, I'm going to tell you that what I said is wrong. Because nobody says it and it should be said. So obviously I'm wrong, but I don't know why I'm wrong. But in the case of Karban Pesach, it's beautiful. Because the Karban Pesach gives you a 6-hour period. And if you mess up in that 6 hours between Chatzos, or a half hour after Chatzos on your Dalet B'Nisan and sunset, then you're Chayev Karis. And you're Chayev Karis. If you did it with Bishogi, you're Chayev a Karban. No, you're not Chayev Karban. Why not? Because there's no Eshar. Yeah.
I mean, in the same way that you can put a time on a Korban Pesach and have a Hava Mila that you might have to bring,
right,
a Korban and not bring it, what are you going to do with the Mila? Every moment you have Korban, you say, every moment you have another Korban?
I don't think so. That's what I'm telling you. I would take out the word Mila because I don't believe that you could ever clinch and tie someone down and say, you have a Korban for not doing Mila, because he could always tell you, I'll laugh in your face and I'll say, tomorrow I'll do the Mila. There's no time limit.
God says ending by Pesach, because after those 6 hours, I can say, look, I'm not five cards, I have Pesach Sheni.
All right, so let's say Pesach Sheni pants. What's
right,
the difference?
Now what's here's where my lawyer part comes out of it. I say, look.
He went to law school?
You can't. No, I'm just a Harvard lawyer in a jar on my desk. You can't say, look, after Pesach Sheni, I did not bring the card on Pesach Rishon, I missed Pesach Sheni. Missing Pesach
Sheni
isn't that bad.
Okay, but look, the Gemara says that you should be chayav a karban for Karban Pesach. I mean, what the Gemara means is that at some point you blew it.
Right.
How do you say that in the case of you? Go ahead.
The day after the kid's born, he's castrated completely. There's no chance of mila now. He's chayav karban.
Yeah, I thought the same thing.
It's pretty good. I like it. In other words, he did something that makes it impossible to do mila. Okay. Next. So what's the proof here? So the Gemara says, Hasam, I'll give you another reason. You know why you don't bring a carbon for the case of Pesach and mila? It's for a totally different reason. Love any time. It has nothing to do with the absence of an azhara. Ella, mishum de iskash kalator kula lavodas kochav. The paradigm of a chiyuv kares is avodas kochav, because in the parashah of avodas kochav, the Torah says Torah achas yelachem leonish b'skoda, which teaches me that all mitzvahs that are similar to avodas kochav, if you violate them, the shogi yichai b'kar. But ma avodas kochav shevi al taseh, the Torah says you've got to abstain from the following action, and you went ahead, you violated that action, that's called kuvaseh. Ask kol shevi altas. In other cases of shevi altas, and you violated the kuvaseh, you actively violated, then you're chayav a karbon. So the karbon is engendered by a maisa. La fuki hani, to the exclusion of pesach umila, because there it's kuvaseh, the Torah tells you to do an action. You violated the command of the Torah by non-action. And therefore, you don't bring a carbon because you're missing the basic element, the basic requirement for a chiyuv carbon, namely a maisa. So where are we holding now? So now we came to the conclusion that So where are we holding now? Let's just make a judgment, sorry. Do you need an azhara for a carbon or not? So yeah. We're saying it could be
didn't really answer that.
I mean, just one second, I'm sorry.
Yeah,
just take me, I'm sorry, I always have to apologize, but I need one moment of silence, if you don't mind. In other words, what we're saying is now that from Pesach Umila, we prove that you don't need an Azhara for Chayve Krisus, and therefore, right. So right now we're good. Right now we're good. Everybody agree with me? Did I make any mistakes? We're good now. In other words, we want to go back to drawing board, Rabbi Akiva. Why is it that you give Malkus in the case of Chayve Krisus? You don't give Malkus in the case of Chayve Misa? And the answer is, because a lava I need to Azhar is Misa's based, then I need the Azhar from Misa, and I can't use it for Malkus. But a lava I need to Azhar is Misa Kares, as I don't need the Azhar for Kares, and if I'm free to use the Azhar for Malkus. And if you'll ask me, how do I know that in the case of Chayvei Krisus, I do not need an Azhara, I prove it to you from Pesach Umil. And if you'll tell me, maybe I need the Azhara for Karban, I'll tell you I don't need an Azhara for Karban.
How come?
Although, wait a minute. No, I backtrack on one point. The Gemara still has the objection, maybe I do need an Azhara for Karban, and I can't use it for Malkus. And your proof, you stand on the shoulders of Pesach Umila to prove that you can get, you can, that what? That other, so that proved, that, one second. That's going to prove, but Pesach Umila is going to prove that you must have an Azhara for Karban. No, there's no proof. So at the end of the day, I don't have any proof that Karban needs an Azhara. Chayvei Krisus, Bemezid, the Chivkar certainly doesn't need an Azhara that we've proven conclusively for Pesach Umila, and therefore the Azhara is free to engender a Chiyuv Malkus. And now the Gemara is going to say Ravina. And the Mepharshim are going to ask, what bothers Ravina? Just like we asked the question before, what bothers Rava? Now we're going to ask the question, what bothers Ravina? Because at this point, everything seems to be tied in a very tight knot. Yeah.
You can't use the same proof that you're using for Koros and Korban from Pesach Chalila, because there is no Korban from Pesach Chalila. So it doesn't work.
Right, if you want to say the reason why there's no Korban for Pesach Chalila is because there was no Azhara, the answer is no. The reason why there's no Korban from Pesach Chalila is because it's not Dumya. The Avodah Zorah, it wasn't a Sheva Aseh, it was a Kuma Aseh instead of a Sheva Altaseh, and therefore I go back to my premise that a Karban does not need an Azhar. Okay? A Karban does not need an Azhar.
It's not a proof, it's just deflecting.
Right.
It's deflecting it, as is.
But again, we're still free to maintain a Karban doesn't, a Karban does not require an Azhar. Again, I can't prove it to you from Pesach Umila, but in and of itself it might be correct, because maybe, as we discussed earlier, karma belongs to that, how should I say, category of kapara, which is more bezin shel mala than bezin shel mata, and if you don't need that zara, the Torah says you have to bring a karma. So it's very possible that Ravina Omar, meaning that Ravina holds that karma needs an azara. And that's why he can't accept this previous interpretation. In fact, in the Otsa Mefarshia Talmud, he's got Rashi all over the place. In like 3, 4, 5 sugis and shas, Rashi assumes that a Karban needs an Azhar. Ayin Gemara says Karban doesn't need an Azhar. The answer is that Ravina never accepted that premise. He felt that we have to come up with another explanation for Rabbi Akiva, because if you're going to tell me Rabbi Akiva holds the Azhara in the case of Chayvei Krisus is free to engender a Chiyuv Malkus, no, I need the Azhara for Karban. And that would justify why Rashi, in so many places in Shas, says that a Karban needs an Azhara.
Why does Rashi look like Ravina?
Because Rashi holds a Ravina. I saw something here in the Otzer that bothered me a little bit. The Gemara, back on Daf Dalet, says that there's no Malkus for Losana Briyachay Shoka, because the Lav Hanitan Lazarus Nisus Bezdin, because if Adam Zomimim Edom Gomrim will get Nisa in certain cases, correct? And then Edom Zomim lo tzrichi hasra. There's a principle that Edom Zomim don't need a warning. Two Edom coming to Beis, we don't have to say to them, look, if you're perjuring yourself, you will get Miso or whatever punishment. Once there's Hazoma, they will punish Edom Zomim lo tzrichi hasra.
Hasra or Azara?
You don't need a hasra. Correct? You don't need a hasra. And yet, just 1 second, I just want to get this question down. Okay, this is too complicated for me at this hour. Maybe we'll talk about it another time. Let's just read Ravina and then we'll call it a night because it's pretty late. Ravina Omar Li Olam Kidabrina Meikara. I'm going to go back to the original explanation that Rabbi Akiva is based on Kidei Rishaso, and you'll ask me, so what's the difference between Chayve Misa and Chayve Malkus? And I will answer to you that in the case of Chayve Misa, there's no possibility of doing tshuva and getting mechila, but in the case of Chayve Krisus, im osu tshuva, Bezdin, Shomala, Mochlin Lem, and the Thief Karis is completely wiped off. Then you're left with only one punishment. My Amrit, but why did you object to this? This is a rhetorical question, right? Ravina is talking to himself. Because holo ovid tshuva. In other words, in the meantime, he hasn't done tshuva, and if he's chayv an onish of kares, how could Bezdin mete out a second punishment of malchus? The answer is lo psika milso le kares. In other words, it's not absolutely certain that he will be chayv kares. He could easily, but he could do tshuva and therefore exonerate himself from the chiyuv kares. And when the Torah says to us, don't give two punishments, it means punishments which are vadai punishments, that are absolutely certain and not up for grabs, meaning dependent and contingent on whether or not he does tshuva. Okay then, so what we're up to, there is Rabbi Yitzchak, and that will pick up next week. And you know, this business about Hasra and Azhara, maybe we'll you know, if we work it out a little bit clearer. I mean, again, I don't want to confuse you, so.
Can I have a question?
Yeah.
Why is this theme of Rabba where it is in the Gemara? It seems very strange. We put in the Braisa, and then we start going through the opinions. We start with Rabbi Yishma, then Rabbi Akiva, and now we're about to do Rabbi Yitzchak. So in the middle of Rabbi Akiva, we have this statement of Rava, and it doesn't seem like he's talking about particularly explaining something very particular in Rabbi Akiva. He's actually talking about re-explaining all three opinions in a very drastic way.
Well, not three, maybe two. But in any event, no. His main revolution, I would say, is Rabbi Akiva. I'll tell you why. Because until this point, we were barraging, you know, Rabbi Akiva with the following question. Rabbi Akiva, if you are saying that there's no way of imposing two punishments, then you should apply that consistently to the case of Chai de Krisus. That's also two punishments. Comes along Rav and he says, nay, you misunderstood Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva is not telling you that in the case of Chai de Krisus, we have an issue of one punishment or two punishments. Or in the case of Chai de Krisus Bezdin, we have an issue of one punishment or two punishments. Then you're going to tell me, well, the same way that there are no two punishments in Chayvi Misa, there should not be two punishments in Chayvi Karis. Says Rav, I'm going to cut that all out. I'm going to completely circumvent your whole problem with Rabbi Akiva. I'm going to tell you live, very smooth, Chad V'cholik, as we say. Rabbi Akiva differentiates between Chayvi Misas and Chayvi Krisis in the following way. Do we have an Azar? Do we have an Azar for Malchus? Says Rav, it depends. If you're talking about a Chayvi Mises, we have no Azor for Malkus, because I need the Azor for Mises Bezdin. If you're talking about Chayvi Krisus, I have an Azor for Malkus, because the Azor is not necessary for Krisus. So in a sense, Rava's main, I think, contribution to the Sugya, or his revolution to the Sugya, is in Rabbi Akiva's frame of reference. Because he really cuts out all the problems that we had in Rabbi.
Yeah, but in a fundamental way, he's much more dramatic than his re-explanation of Rabbi Yishmael. Rabbi Yishmael seems almost like this crazy guy. He's beating this guy to death and then killing him. Wow. Yeah. And now we're saying, no, Rabbi Yisrael is a normal guy. He holds like everybody else. You don't give two punishments.
Right.
This element, I'll get a case, and this and that, you give him malchus. Like,
you're right. I mean, we had a whole discussion. What moved Rava? What motivated Rava? Was Rava motivated because of his, you know, the previous understanding of Rabbi Shmuel, which didn't make any sense to him? It didn't sit well with him. This Misa, you know, Misa Ritka business. Or was Rava motivated because he wanted to reinterpret Rabbi Akiva?
I'd also say Rabbi Shmuel's explanation from the Tokacha for a practical halacha of Malchus is actually quite troubling to me.
I don't know what you mean by that. But let me say this, Jonathan. You and Aaron are learning Chavrusa, correct?
Yeah.
So I'd like to give you a homework assignment.
We moved it to Sunday nights, just so you know.
Oh, okay. Not Here's a homework assignment. And again, you know, you can either do it or not do it. Rava seems to have changed, have reversed two positions vis-a-vis the previous sugya that came before. Number one, how to interpret Rabbi Yishmael, and number two, how to interpret Rabbi Akiva. My question to you, and I can't seem to come up with anything, I'm hoping you're told Mashayim Echa as a Perusa. What is the relationship between those two? Is it just coincidental that Rava makes these two changes? Or somehow they're, we say in Yiddish, clipped to kibbutz, you know, they're tied together, you know, you can't separate the two. It's a package deal. Would you do that research for me? Okay.
Well, I just need the Gemara differently. I would just say that Gemara is presenting it chronologically.
I don't know about chronologically.
Rava is older. He's later in history.
No, that's not my point, Jonathan. I'm just saying that Rava has two positions. One position is his commitment to accept Kedei Rishasso, even according to Rabbi Shmuel, which changes Rabbi Shmuel radically, drastically, means that if it was Asra for Misa, there will, by definition, not be Malchus. That's one change that Rava, and I don't care chronologically what. And number two, Rava changes our understanding of Rabbi Akiva, because according to Rava and Rabbi Akiva, it's Lav Hanita Lasaris Misas Bezin versus Lav Hanita Lasaris Karis. And that's totally different than Kedei Rishasso and all the other problems that we have. I'm just asking these two logical conclusions of Rava, one with regard to Rabbi Shmuel, the other with regard to Rabbi Akiva, are they interrelated?
Yeah.
Could I have accepted one without the other?
Yeah, just go over the Brisa and read it with the language of Yeshno B'Klal Malchus. As what does that mean, B'Klal Malchus? Not that I'm actually giving you Malchus, but that the possibility of Malchus exists. And once you read it like that, both conclusions come clearly.
I don't know. I don't know what you're saying. It's too late now for me to even begin to think. But again, I'm looking for a deeper answer. I don't know. Maybe you're giving me a very profound answer. You're giving me, I think, a technical answer about the language. I don't even know what you're talking
about. I know. I'm not saying it's technical. I'm saying it's very profound in terms of.
So leave out the language and just tell me conceptually, what's the relationship between those two? Conceptually, why do I have to, you know, if I don't have a language
issue. The Rice is arguing about one subject. You can't just change one and not change the other.
Okay, so again, that's a that sounds too superficial. That sounds too technical for me. I want to know if there's something more integral. Just, I don't have a Bryce. Make believe there is no Bryce. There is no text. I just want to know, in a pure conceptual world, in an abstract world language, is there any connection between those two? Is there something here that compels Rava to accept two changes, and he's not satisfied with one change? In other words, if I were to say, Rav, you know, I accept your premise in Rabbi Shmuel, but I'm not going to accept your premise in Rabbi Akiva, or vice versa, what would Rav say to me? Why would he throw the shnender at me? Okay, I'm too tired now, so
don't say you're not in cars.
You know, don't
say that.
All right, no. Again, I'm just asking for something more lumpish. Is there something interrelated? That's all.
The other, you said there are 36 cases of Karius?
Yes.
And two of them, we said, are Rismila and not bringing the korban, or not doing.
I don't know. I'm not sure. You haven't.
We just did two, and then.
No, I don't know. I don't know. It could be the 36 on the lava. You just give me a Mishnah Krisis.
So. Well, I guess my question is, when you're Chayav Karis, and because now you're Chayav Karis, you now also have to bring a korban. Right?
If you did Shogu.
Yeah, if you did Shogu. If you do tshuva and remove the Karis, does the korban requirement still exist?
If you did tshuva
and remove the kares,
and remove the kares.
Oh, what are you guys asking here?
Probably not.
I'm asking.
You probably not.
If you do one of these things that require the Kaparis,
yeah,
if you do the Kaparis,
yeah.